5. Army Training Ground and Manchir Cathedral, Duchy of Manchir, Kingdom of Khorasan. The Snark's deployed sensor was parked on Hector of Khorasan's right shoulder, where it provided Merlin with, among other things, an exquisitely detailed view of the prince's ear hair. There were times, many of them, when Merlin had felt severely tempted to use the sensor's self-destruct capability to remove Hector from the equation once and for all. The remotes had been designed to be capable of working together with their clones to destroy specifically targeted circuits in enemy installations with their incendiary-shaped charge suicide pills, and it wouldn't have been particularly difficult for him to maneuver several of them deep into the Khorasandian's ear canal and use their combined charges to eliminate him while he slept. Unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to disguise what had happened, and even if Safeholdian healers had been trained by rote according to the Book of Pasquale rather than on any scientific basis, an explosive burst of flame sufficient to burn holes through tempered steel plates inside an ear canal would be hard for any post-mortem exam to miss. The questions that would raise, including the inevitable allegations that the Carisians must have done it using black arts provided to them by their true mistress, Shan Wei, which, after all, would be uncomfortably close to the truth, scarcely bore thinking upon. "It's bad enough that everyone in Khorasan already thinks we tried to kill him once," Merlin reflected, swiveling the sensor's field of view away from the prince's hairy earlobe and back out across the grassy hillside on which Hector, his daughter, and the Earl of Khoras sat their horses with Earl Anvil Rock. Adding charges of witchcraft to the mix couldn't make anything better. The thought brought a slight smile to his lips, but his amusement vanished as he reflected upon what Hector had come here to see. Manchir was 6 hours ahead of Telesburg, although it would be some hours yet before the sun rose over Caleb's capital. The morning was already well advanced in Khorasan, and the troops who'd been detailed to demonstrate their new weapons for Hector had been waiting for him and the princess for almost an hour. "All right, Rizal," Hector said. "Your reports have been interesting enough. I'm looking forward to seeing the actual guns."
"I don't think you'll be disappointed, my prince," Anvil Rock told him.
"I'm not expecting to be," Hector assured the Earl.
Anvil Rock grinned at him, then nodded to the youthful officer standing beside him. The young man picked up a flag from the grass at his feet and waved it vigorously overhead. Someone down at the deployed battery of guns saw it and waved another flag in response, and the waiting gun crews swung into action. The guns themselves looked odd, especially in comparison to the pieces Seamount was in the course of providing for Khoras. The barrels were short and stubby, which only made sense, Merlin supposed, since they'd been copied directly from the sketches Captain Mergen had sent home. Mergen had sketched only the carronades the Carisian galleys had mounted in their broadsides, not the long guns they'd mounted as chase weapons, and most of the new Khorasandian artillery was being made to that pattern. Earl Tartarian had recognized the implications of the carronade's shorter inherent range once the Navy had begun test firings, and the third pour of the naval artillery had increased barrel length to extend the weapon's range. Anvil Rock and his son were familiar with the modified, longer naval pieces, but they'd chosen to stick to the carronade pattern for their new field artillery. That let them put considerably heavier guns into the field for the same weight of metal, and even the field carronades, as Merlin had decided they needed to be called to separate them from proper field guns, had several times the effective range of smoothbore matchlock muskets. Against that sort of infantry weapon, the artillery Anvil Rock had designed made excellent sense. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately from Merlin's perspective, Anvil Rock wasn't aware of the fact
that the Carizian Marines were now armed with rifles, not smoothbores. Not that his carronades aren't going to be a big enough pain in the ass to go on with, Merlin thought grimly. And he and his son were certainly right about the throw weight side of things. They're going to be deploying 24-pounders on carriages the size of the ones we're using for 12-pounders, and there are going to be plenty of instances in which we can't make use of our rifles' maximum ranges against them, which is going to hurt a lot. And if they haven't figured out about rifles, Anvil Rock's over-clever, pain-in-the-ass son has obviously figured out the implications of the flintlocks our artillery uses instead of slow match.